Welcome to today's audio cast for Friday, August 3rd, 2007 from AvWeb, brought to you by Aviation Consumer, where right now you can check out the 2007 Oshkosh Air Venture Diary at aviationconsumer.com. At the recent EAA Air Venture, AvWeb Editor-in-Chief Chad Troutfeder had a one-on-one discussion with Avadyne Director of Product Marketing Paul Hathaway on the future of avionics. Hathaway first discusses the design philosophy of the Avadyne system before getting into a bigger picture talk.
You know, one of the primary differentiators of Avadyne over the course of its history has been a very ease-of-use, intuitive-centric product profile. We've worked very hard over the years as we've added weather interfaces, radar interfaces, traffic interfaces, to specifically focus on making it simple and intuitive. It's the thing that differentiates Avadyne, I think, from our competitors in the field. We're very fortunate to be based in Lincoln, Massachusetts. It's our main facility, where we have a tremendous number of MIT grads that work there that specialized in human factors and man-machine interface studies. And so I think that combined with a tremendous number of pilots at Avadyne, we have a team that can really authoritatively put together products that are simple and intuitive.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about the progress of avionics in the past 5 and even 10 years? It's been pretty extraordinary, hasn't it?
It has been. I mean, if you look at, you know, our first sort of forays into the low-cost avionics market, so-called low-cost avionics market, we really thought that the adoption rate of integrated flight decks of glass would take, say, 5 to 10 years. And that's sort of the pace that really the integration of Collins and Honeywell glass in corporate aviation and transport, it took about 5 to 10 years. What we really saw was this almost explosive growth associated with OEM sales due to the integration of glass. It opened up aviation for a whole new segment of owners, people who were very interested in technology or people that were intimidated by analog gauges and saw an ease of use and simplicity in glass and a situational awareness level and integration that made flying more simple, more intuitive, and frankly, it would drop the barriers of entry to flying. So what we saw was sort of a 3-year adoption curve for glass. If you look at every major manufacturer now offers glass either as standard or as a very commonly selected option. And it's been quite a wild ride.
Even the LSAs announced here, the Cessna 162 and the LS Sirius SRS, they're looking at glass and not the six-pack anymore. Is that the future of training aircraft too?
If you look at the number of schools out there that are integrating glass into their fleets, the primary driver is that these students are going to be coming out, they're going to be flying, RJs or, ATRs. They're going to be in the regionals. And I think if they've trained on analog steam gauges, they will be disadvantaged. I think that the carriers and some of the regionals and corporate are expecting students to arrive with the prerequisite time, but experience with EFIS and with CAS and ICAS, and these are transport level technologies that now a student pilot is almost expected to be familiar with. I think we've seen this trickle down effect. It's really not a trickle; it's been a fire hose of airline technologies moving into GA, and I think it helps from a flying professionalism perspective. I mean, you've got your average level Cirrus or Piper or Atom pilot now is, I think, at a higher level of proficiency from a flying capabilities perspective, and they have than previous sort of eras of aviation. They've also have these situational awareness tools which are unparalleled. I mean, you can look at a multifunction display, and it's aggregating your position, the special use airspace around you. It's showing you all the weather, the traffic, terrain hazards, the condition of your engines. It's giving you alerts on voltage or oil pressure. And I think the pilot, prior to the integration of integrated flight decks, that pilot would have had to look in many, many different places to get that information. For instance, to get weather in flight, you would have had to look up the nearest flight service station. Then it would take 5 to 10 minutes, calling almost in the blind to get somebody to read back weather to you. Once they understood where you were, then they could actually tell you what the weather was. And we still have a situation where air traffic control doesn't really have access to the weather tools that many new OEM plane or Avadyne aftermarket equipped planes do. I mean, I've been in situations where with the weather receiver in my aircraft, my Bonanza connected to the Avidyne MFD, I've been giving advice. I've been in a situation where you could give advice to people on the same route, or controllers have asked me, you have data link, what's really going on, because I don't have that feed right now. So it's a very interesting situation where some relatively low-cost tools for the cockpit have provided a situational awareness and functionality that is superior to what you might find in the transport category or on the ground and the controllers.
Now let's talk about what the future holds. We have next-gen coming, so obviously there's avionics are going to be a big part of that. What do you see in the future?
Well, Avidyne's core product roadmap has really not fundamentally changed since the company's inception. And it's really one of the astounding things about Dan's vision and the leadership team's vision and all that, the engineers that work there. We've always been committed to simple, intuitive, flying made simple. If you look at it, it was from the very first Flight Max displays, which were radar replacement displays, through our moving maps, through our traffic product line, the new Sirius data link receiver, and our partnership with WSI. It's been to provide the best, simplest interface for these very high-quality products. As we move towards a greater integration of our products, if we look at other technologies where obviously would be some degree of investment, whether it's navigation or communication, we really are still guided by this principle that it's simply not a matter of adding more buttons and adding more menus and adding more pages. It has to be simpler than before you started adding those functions and features. It would have been relatively simple for Avidyne to come out with a more, for instance, more integrated product. We can always debate the meaning of integrated. But we've spent quite a bit of time looking at human factors and how to bring a revolutionary ease of use to flight decks. And so I think it's our trademark today with Integra and the aftermarket products, and it's going to continue to be our guiding principle.
From a bigger picture view, with next gens coming out, what are we going to have in our airplanes in 10 years?
That's a good question. I think you're going to see the increasing. I think obviously display technologies are going to be driving so much of this. So you've got lighter, bigger, brighter, more robust, more reliable displays that are lower cost coming to market. OLEDs and other technologies, so forth. I can really only see the spectrum of broadcast technologies and two-way data link technologies growing. There are so many products and services that you could offer to GA, whether it's pilot assist features or fuel stop planning or it's almost like a AAA by the side of the road type service, but it's over two-way data link. Those sort of service technologies, I think, are really where there'll be some pretty significant growth. Also, there's tremendous interest at the fleet level or school or air taxi level in these technologies because they allow a more efficient management and utilization. If you have all these assets and a student has taken one airplane out of state when they should be on a training mission, or you have an airplane where it's got a high CHT value on a certain cylinder, you can make some intelligence decisions as the dispatcher or the director of maintenance that make for a more efficient, more cost-effective, safer fleet experience. I think that's a tremendous direction we'll see. Obviously, we're seeing multiple Atahars installations in aircraft that Avidyne is featured on now that allow cross-comparing of attitude, air data. And then I think sort of beyond that, you're going to see, intelligent software that can monitor and advise the pilot from a safety perspective. And obviously on an aircraft that has an Atahars, at the same time, we know that aircraft's flight profile and parameters and the way it should be operated. So you have a device that can measure rate, acceleration, yaw, pitch, bank, and so forth, and altitude. We have very intelligent databases of the Earth's physical geography. So when, combined with software, there's ways to automate sort of an oversight of the way the aircraft is operated. It's not a big brother tool, but it's a tool that can suggest to the pilot that they are close to the edge of an envelope of the aircraft or outside of the safe performance margins. So it's interesting technologies from that perspective.
So we won't have a dog in the right seat. He won't be there to bite you when you touch something, right?
To bite the pilot. Yeah, that's not a product we're working on right now.
Now, how about the future of ATC? What are we going to need to make sure we can still access the airspace system?
It's a very interesting question. I mean, we've got, obviously, there's a tremendous growth in technologies, surveillance technologies such as ADS-B, and there's a number of government initiatives. I mean, if you look at ADS-B as an example, you know, it requires a receiver to be installed in the aircraft. Primary services now that you would get over that would be some data link, notional data link traffic and or free weather access. But if you look at Avadyne's product roadmap, and if you buy, for instance, a well-equipped Cirrus or Atom or Piper aircraft today with Avadyne's Integra, you already have data link weather, you already have, with far more product offerings, you already have an active onboard traffic system that will work anywhere in the world that isn't data link dependent. And so, you know, it's an interesting question. I think for ADS-B to effectively impact GA, there's got to be a mandate very much like TAWS. We've seen how that got deferred and deferred and deferred. I mean, I think the same level of activity will occur around GA. What we've been trying to do is take products that were well accepted in the marketplace, whether it's a traffic system, WSI's in-flight weather, the Sirius radio network, or the technologies, lightning detection technologies, and then differentiate them by performance and by price. So if you look at, we took the integrated flight deck that was on corporate-style aircraft and, you know, produced it with an ease of use and at a price point that it made sense to put them in GA aircraft, and then that really revolutionized GA to a certain extent. Same thing with traffic. We had sales, you know, of active traffic products were steady but contained. But when, you know, we introduced the TAS 600 series family, where there's performance tiers and price tiers, sales of active traffic, increased fourfold. It's really similar with our weather offerings. I mean, we're trying to do things that highly differentiate Avadyne from a quality, a feature, and a price performance standpoint. So I think you'll see more effort along those lines from us. We're always working on new stuff.
Avadyne's Paul Hathaway. The world's best website for general aviation news and information is avweb.com. Comments on this audiocast welcome at audionews@avweb.com. And today's report was brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, where right now you can check out Aviation Consumer's 2007 Oshkosh AirVenture Update titled More Than We Expected at www.aviationconsumer.com. The consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners. Look for AvWeb's next audio cast on Monday, August 6th. I'm Mike Blakeney for AvWeb Audio. Thanks for listening.